Have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in John's Gospel. John's Gospel. Appreciate the good singing tonight. I'm glad he took my sin and my sorrow. If he did do that, take your sin and sorrow and made them his very own, am I to believe that I don't have them no more? That I have been absolved of them. I have been placed in a state where they're non-existent. They're gone. I tell you, that ought to make some of you at least smile. Not shout. Of course, I know, some of you ain't never done more than one or two things wrong in your life. It wouldn't even be worth talking about. But I was stacking them. And when I found out he had made them his very own and I didn't have none no more, wow. What a thought. We have been preaching since Sunday morning on a little phrase that appears 38 times in the New Testament. Preachers already mentioned it. It is the little phrase, in the midst, in the midst. We've been fascinated about two things about this phrase. One is its definition. And the other is the times that it appears in the life of Christ. The little phrase has the idea of a place of authority. It has the place of the control center. It is a place where everything's being run from. Everything's flowing out of here. Everything's flowing in here. It is where everything is happening. The little phrase comes from the little word to preempt. When he is in the center, he preempts everything else. Nothing else is important except him. We've looked at it from several angles. We looked at the 12-year-old Jesus down there at the temple in the midst of the Pharisees and brought some thoughts on the teaching authority of Christ. Christ in the midst of our intaking. I tell you, you better have him in the middle of what you take in tonight. Oh, he wants to be in the midst. He wants to be the control center. And then we looked at the gathering authority where two or three are gathered together. Christ in the midst of my undertaking. I tell you, you better not undertake anything from buying a $300,000 home to hunting for a parking place at Walmart unless God's in the middle of it. And then last evening, we looked at the dying authority of Christ. Christ in the midst of our upper taking. Where was he when he died? He was in the midst. Looked like he is a loser. No, he's running the whole show. He's the control center. He's calling all the shots. Everything that's being done to him and in front of him, he is ordering every bit of it while he's hanging there. I like a God like that, don't you? I tell you, if you got a God you can control tonight, I'd give him up. Yes, sir. He's the God of the Bible. I want to go to another time when this phrase is mentioned a couple of times in John's Gospel, chapter number 20. And I want to preach tonight on the filling authority of Christ. Christ in the midst of our overtaking. I asked you a question tonight. Not asking you if you've been down to Romans Road, German Road, French Road. Not asking if you've ever been dunked in a baptismal pool. Never asked you if you're a good little boy, good little girl, ever been joined Baptist Church. I'm asking you tonight if you've ever experienced a divine takeover in your life. God took over the whole house. You no longer run anything at your house. He has taken over it all. Filling authority of Christ. Christ in the midst of our overtaking. Beginning in our text in John chapter number 20 and verse 19, it says, then the same day at evening. What day is that? It's the day he got up from the dead. It's still Sunday. He got up Sunday morning. I'm always fascinated about this little verse here. Because when he got up that morning, old Mary was out there in the garden and she wanted to hug him. She's a hugger. He backed off from her. He said, don't touch me. He said, I've not yet ascended to my Father. But here on Sunday night, he is at the evening service, and he tells them to touch him. He has done been clear out into eternity. He has done humiliated the devil and all of hell's imps on his way out there. He has presented the blood, and he has gotten back in time for the Sunday evening service. Some of you can't even go see Aunt Boo on Sunday afternoon and get back in time for the Sunday evening service. I love the hand out of that, don't you? He said, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the doors were shut. They got the doors locked, and they scared they're going to kill them. Oh, you can lock your doors if you want to. He's coming in. He ain't got to need you to open no door. He said, the doors were shut where disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood where? He stood over in a corner. No, he comes in the room. He ain't standing in no corner. He'll get dead center. He's standing in the midst of this little assembly. The Bible said he stood in the midst. He saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them. This ain't Benny Hinn breath. Oh, no. It's the breath of God he's going to blow on. The Bible said he breathed on them. And the text tells us that he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Again in verse 26, old Thomas, he didn't come to Sunday night service. He's busy. He got other things going on. But when he heard it that Sunday night service, he had come by and made a public appearance. He said, man, I think I'll come next Sunday night. The Bible says in verse 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were with him and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, doors being shut, and stood. And whenever he comes, he's not going to come into your situation, take your side or take somebody else's side. He's going to come get in the middle. He's going to take over. He's the control center. He come and stood in the midst. The filling authority of Christ. Christ in the midst of an overtaking. I'm asking you tonight, have you ever experienced a divine takeover? Christ breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Paul expanded upon this truth. You got the Bible there tonight. Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm asking you tonight, if Christ is in the midst of your life, you have had to have experienced a divine takeover in your life. Yes, sir. If you have never experienced a divine takeover of the entire house tonight, he is not in the midst. He is not the centerpiece. Not the control center. Paul made this statement in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess? But be what? Half filled? Oh, no. Amen. Filled with the Spirit. Amen. Be being filled. I was interested in this little word filled. He compares it to being drunk, intoxicated. You never seen a drunk down at the bar. It's happy hour. And he's wanting the bartender to close up. Want to go home. Oh, no. He said, can you give me one more? It's intoxicated. It was interesting, the little word feel, a little Greek word there has two pictures to it. One is a picture of a cylinder, a vessel. I've always thought that in my earlier days that vessel would fill up and then it would overflow, and that overflow would help someone else. But as I've studied the word feel, it ain't got a thing to do with it. It is a cylinder, a vessel that has no bottom in it. What in the world would I want to have a vessel that ain't got no bottom in it? That means that everything in it has been emptied out. I was wondering, have you ever experienced a day when God kicked the bottom end out of you, emptied you of your stinking self? You say, I don't know if I remember something like that. If something like that happened to you, you'd remember it. Well, what in the world would he want to kick the bottom end out of me for? Then he can take you and immerse you in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will flow freely through you. I'm asking you tonight if you've ever experienced that baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say you believe that's the second work of grace. You can call it whatever you want to. I don't care what you call it. The second picture of that little word field is a picture of a seaman, and he's got his ship out upon the life seas, and he's controlling his ship. He's got the rudder. He is deciding where it's going to go and where it is not going to go. And all of a sudden, storm comes up. The wind begins to blow. Wind in the Bible is a picture of the Holy Ghost. And the water begins to fill the ship. Water is a picture of the Word of God. And the captain of his own ship, going where he wants to, he loses control of the rudder. And he's now face down in his ship, and his ship's now being controlled by the wind of the Holy Ghost and the water of the Word of God. Has there ever been an occasion in your life when you lost control of your ship? You're no longer directing it. It is now under the control of the water of the Word of God and the wind of the Holy Ghost, blowing it where it wants to go, telling it where it wants to go. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about a divine takeover. If you have the Bible there tonight in Ephesians chapter number 5, just exactly what is this filling of the Holy Ghost like? Suppose I was to get fuzzy-wuzzy tonight, preacher, have a religious experience, and started having a desire. I just got this hankering to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you were to have some kind of experience like that tonight, watch out. All hell's fixing to break out. Because if there's one thing the devil don't want, he don't want you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He'd rather for you to be religious. Just exactly what would that look like? Notice if you would in Ephesians 5, the filling perception tonight. What would it look like? I notice in verse number 19, it would involve a joyful heart, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. Making melody within your heart, a joyful spirit, not a down spirit, not a living in the minor key, not the glass is half empty, but the glass is half full. It's not partly cloudy outside. It's partly sunny outside. I was wondering tonight, do you have a song? I didn't ask you if you could sing. I asked you if you have a song. I'm amazed as I look at Baptist people from night to night that don't sing. They stand there. You listening to me tonight? Amen. I love that old song, Marching to Zion. The old hymn writer said, let those who never knew our God not sing. You listening to me? Well, I'll tell you, I can't sing. Can you make noise? You know what noise is, don't you? That's noise. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Don't sit there with your mouth shut. You're telling us you don't have a song in here. You've never had the bottom end kicked out of you. You've never lost control of your ship. One been filled with the Holy Ghost, got a joyful heart. I love what the old preacher said. He says, I can't. He said, I can carry a tune. He said, I just can't deliver it. There's a difference in singing tonight with your mouth, having a song in your heart. Oh, I want to have a song in my heart, don't you? I don't want to always be down, always be in crisis mode.
Yes, sir.
It's a mark of one's never been filled with the Holy
Amen.
Ghost.
Yes, sir.
They'll have a joyful heart. I notice in our text tonight there in verse 20, they'll have a grateful heart. He said, giving thanks always for... You'll see words in the Bible you wish wasn't in there, you wish you could cut them out. What in the world has he got to stick that word in there for? All things. Gracious. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Having a thankful spirit, thanks for, because, no, in the place of, in everything, if nothing else, you can give thanks for him.
Amen.
In the middle of what you're going through. Amen. You can at least say tonight in thanksgiving, hallelujah, here comes my troubles. And soon you'd be able to say, glory to God, there they go.
Amen.
Grateful spirit. Thankful spirit. Oh, tonight may God give us a grateful spirit. Joyful heart. Just, hey, preacher, if I was filled with the Holy Ghost, what would it look like? Not only be a joyful heart tonight, a grateful heart. I notice in verse 21, it'd be a helpful heart. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Submission. I don't want to get over. I don't want to be the boss. I want to get under. It'll work so good in a husband relationship. You imagine what could happen if you had a husband, wife, and both of them want to get under.
Oh, listen.
Neither one of them want to be the boss. Oh, wow. You'd have heaven on earth.
Amen.
Submitting yourself to one another. It's a position of inferiority. Jesus bowed and washed the disciples' feet. I was thinking, oh, it's been a year or so ago. We was in a meeting over in, I better not say where it was, but it was over towards the coast of North Carolina. And they were putting the people in two different motels, and one of them is a little nicer than the other one. And Beth was in the hallway, and this old boy was checking in. And the hotel we were staying in, it was probably the nicer of the two. And this old boy was checking in. We've known him for a long time. And they didn't have his room there. He was at the bad one. And she was standing in the hallway, and she heard him yakking to the desk clerk. And so she hid because she didn't want him to see her. And he asked the desk clerk, do you know who I am?
Well,
Dr. So-and-so, he said. So now her and I, whenever we get in a jam and we get starting to be ugly, we'll ask the other one, do you know who I am? She played that little sermon on me about a week ago. We had driven from High Point to Beckley, West Virginia. We had called a motel for an early check-in. And I had driven, and I was already in the flesh, because the Holy Ghost sometimes leaks out of me, and I need to be filled again. And we got there. We had called for an early check-in, and we got there, and they had been booked solid the night before, and the little girl said they didn't have any rooms available. It's going to be a couple hours. Well, she come back to the car and told me that. And oh, gracious, I went ballistic. I was in the flesh. And I said, did you tell her we were choice members? We had called ahead? She sat there and listened to me. And then she looked at me. She said, should I go in there and tell them who you are? What's she going to do? Go in there and tell them, say, hey, nobody's out here in the car. Nothing. Zero with a rim rubbed out sitting out here in the car. Talking about a helpful heart, one who has been emptied of himself. He's had the bottom end kicked out of him. I'm asking us tonight, I'm asking myself tonight, have you ever in your life tonight ever experienced a divine takeover? God's emptied you of your stinking self, filled you with the Holy Ghost. I notice not only is there the filling principle tonight. If you've got the Bible there, back in our text in John chapter 20, there is a filling perception tonight. Just exactly what does fill with the Holy Ghost look like? John chapter number 20, verse number 19, 21 and 26, it would involve a tranquil life. He stood in their midst. Latter part of verse number 19, he said, "Peace be unto you." Shalom is the word. Quietness, harmony, not fighting or wrestling with the circumstances of life. Life is an easy yoke for you. Tranquil life is a mark of one who has been filled with the Holy Ghost. Resting content in Jesus' control. Satisfied no matter what the circumstances. I was thinking about that old gal in Elijah. Her son is laying graveyard dead at the house. She's done the neck check on him. She's done the ear down to his nose. She has done the chest check. He's dead. And she goes to the preacher's house. And they met her because they didn't know she was coming. And they asked her, said, "Is everything all right with your husband?" She said, "It's well." "Said, is everything all right with you?" She said, "It's well." "So how about the boy?" Said, "It's well with him too." Huh? Oh, you and I would have been, "Oh my God, what am I going to do?" No, she's full of the Holy Ghost. Tranquil. It's a picture. It's a tranquil life. Life doesn't get my rest tonight. Life does not take the life out of me. It's a tranquil life. But I see in verse number 20, it is a thankful life. I know a minute ago we talked about the grateful heart. This thankful life is very different. Watch the text. He says in verse number 20, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples." It's an interesting word. Glad. I was studying this little word, glad. It means to bubble up and over. Bubble up and over. I was wondering, have you ever bubbled up and over? Holy Ghost filled people are prone to. Circumstances do not suppress that bubbling. Circumstances, even in their worst state, seem to encourage that bubbling up and over. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about a thankful life. But I see in our text, what does this filling the Holy Ghost look like? Would it be a picture of it? Or would it be a tranquil life, a thankful life? It would be a testifying life. He says in verse 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." There'll be the desire tonight to go out and tell others. You just can't keep your mouth shut. You've seen some things. You've experienced some things. And you've got to tell it. You've got to tell people about the Lord. Are you listening to me tonight? Of course, if you ain't never seen nothing, you ain't never heard nothing, you ain't never going to tell nothing. People full of the Holy Ghost can't keep their mouth shut. Oh, I know, I know, I know. I've heard it all. For ages. I tell you, preacher, I do not discuss politics and I do not discuss religion. Well, if I'd have voted for Hillary and I was lost on my way to hell, I wouldn't discuss it either. Are you listening to me tonight? Hard for me to believe anybody would vote for a Democrat, kill babies, and let homosexuals out of the closet, and then say they're saved. I have a hard time believing that. I know one thing, they might be saved, but they ain't never been filled with the Holy Ghost. He kicked the bottom end out of you and emptied that stinking mess out of you. There's a testifying life. See, he's done, this is off deep, I don't even know if you can get this or not, he's done. And when he did, he blowed everything out of them. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about the filling picture. If you have the Bible there tonight, Isaiah chapter number 44. Could I mention tonight as we bring these thoughts to an end, the filling principle. Preacher, just exactly tonight, how would I go about being filled with the Holy Ghost? Suppose I was struck with a desire tonight to be filled with the Holy Ghost. How would I go about it? Number one, there must be a desire for it. Must be a desire for it. Do you have any desire tonight for God to kick the bottom end out of you, empty you of your stinking self? Do you have any desire tonight for God to take a rudder out of your hand and you are no longer in control of your ship? We hate to be in situations that are out of control. Are you interested in that? Notice what the text said in this desire in Isaiah 44 and verse 3. He says, I will pour water upon everybody. He said, I'll only do it on people that are thirsty. Yes, amen. He said, if you ain't got no desire for it, don't worry about it. You ain't going to get none. Right. Got to be thirsty. Got to be a desire. He says, floods upon the dry ground. You know, I recently read the rest of this verse, and it scared the daylights out of me for myself, and it scared the daylights out of it for you if you don't have no desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you see the rest of the verse? He said, I'll pour my spirit upon thy seed, your children, and my blessings upon thine offspring. That little phrase there, offspring, would be your grandchildren. He said, if you don't have any desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, it ain't no problem. But he said, I ain't gonna fill your children and I ain't gonna fill your grandchildren. My Lord. Are you listening to me tonight? Now, when I've thought about that, you know, I've got 16 grandchildren. They came out of three boys, three wives. They've only had one. And I got to thinking, if each one of them just had what their daddy had, fifth and sixth generation, several hundred people would have come out of my loins. And you going to tell me, I'm going to tell God, I don't want the bottom end kicked out of me. I don't want to lose control of my ship. I want to call my own shots and let 500 or 600 people miss being touched by the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me tonight? Or you can sit there somber if you, oh, I don't like that emotionalism. I don't want the bottom end kicked out of me. I want to control my own ship. Help yourself. He said, I'll stay clear of your children and your grandchildren. I'm talking about the filling principle tonight. Just exactly what is it like? There must be a desire for it. You have the Bible tonight. Back in Ephesians tonight. Chapter number 4. Not only must there be a desire for it, but there must be a devotion to it. A devotion to it. He says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That little word grieve means to suffocate, to press down. I don't want to press down the Holy Ghost with my besetting sin. I don't want to be sitting in Beckley, West Virginia, and I am suffocating him with my stinking self-centered attitude. He don't have no liberty to work. He says, grieve not the Holy Ghost of God. Attitudes, disobedience, self-centeredness, wanting to control your own destiny tonight. Already got your life all planned out tonight. They tell me if you want to hear God laugh the loudest, tell him you got a plan. He'll ask the loudest then. Must be a devotion to it. He says in our text in Ephesians 5:18 that we just read, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled. I must desire tonight to be intoxicated on the Holy Ghost. Paul uses this same analogy in Colossians. He says, let the Word of God, the Bible, dwell in you richly. He said, not only need I to be intoxicated on the Holy Ghost, but I must be full of the Word of God. Every summer at summer camp, I do Bible characters from the past. And this past summer, I did John Huss. John Huss was arrested by the church at Rome for preaching the gospel. He pastored a little parish church, very small congregation. And they stripped old John Huss down naked. He's an old man. Stripped him down naked. Put a dunce hat on his head. And across the front of the dunce hat, archdemon. They paraded him down the street. As he was passing by, there was a large bonfire beside him as he was going by. One of the soldiers said, that's your library burning up over there. But I was fascinated as I was studying John Huss's life. He taught his little parish church constantly. And he used a word, and I said, Christ, what in the word? I'd never heard of that word before. I'd go look it up. He taught them imbibing the Bible. Imbibing the Bible. What? Imbibing the Bible. I went and looked it up. It is the word for an addict. He is addicted to something. He taught his people that not only did they need to get drunk on the Holy Ghost, but they must become addicted to this book. You listen to me tonight. Oh, one who is filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, he is intoxicated on the Holy Ghost and he is addicted to the Word of God. What is the need of being filled tonight? He says in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 26 that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. If you've not been in this book in days, it has been days since you've had a spiritual bath, you stink.
Well, listen. Yeah.
The only way you can wash your soul tonight is to get in this book.
Amen.
One who's been filled with the Holy Ghost, he must be addicted to the book. So take a bath. So wash himself. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. There must be a devotion to the Holy Ghost. He says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, neither give place to the devil. One who is full of the Holy Ghost don't want to give no place to the devil. I was interested in that word place. It's a beachhead. Paul said if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you do not want the devil to even put his little pinkies, just his little toe on the shore of your life. Because you know if he ever puts his pinky on the shore of your life, he's going to bring the whole crew aboard. People full of the Holy Ghost are very conscious tonight of him even putting a pinky on the shore of their life. Hey, listen to me.
Amen.
There must be a desire for it. You got any desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Must be a devotion to it. Last of all tonight, if you got the Bible, Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel. I hate in sermon on a deep theological note. It's deep. It's so deep, I don't even know if you can get it. It not only needs to be a desire for it, it'll be a devotion for it. But there must be a declaration about it. Preacher, how? If I really wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, how could I go about it? I'm going to give you the key right here. You got your Bible. Luke chapter number 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that straighten up and straighten out? Amen. Preacher, how can I get filled with the Holy Ghost? Asked him. Amen. I was wondering tonight, have you ever bought into that philosophy? It's been preached all across this country. You get all the Holy Ghost you're going to get when you got saved. That's what they taught me over at Greenville at Bob Jones University. I'm glad Jesus didn't go over and take that course. It'd have messed him all up.
Because he said,
how much more shall he give the Spirit of God to those that do what? Just ask him. You got a desire for it? You want it? Devotion? Remember, very costly. Going to kick a bottom end out of you. He's going to constantly confront you about your stinking self. Going to constantly tonight, you stick one of your fingers on that rudder, he's going to be after you. He wants total control of the ship. There must be death to self. There must be a divine takeover. I remember in 1976, I didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. I'd never been around any worship. And I was over in Saluda, North Carolina one night in a service. And about 8:45, God kicked the bottom end out of me, emptied me of my stinking self. I cried until the front of my shirt was just sopping wet. It was way after midnight when I finally came to myself. When I came to myself, people was over in the corner waving at stuff I couldn't see. People had crawled up underneath the pew. But I know one thing, that night God was the first time God ever filled me with the Holy Ghost. And the roots of every bit of my success in preaching so many nights a year has its roots in what happened that night. Are you listening to me? A dear preacher friend of mine, he was telling me not long ago, he was down in Florida, and he preached for a preacher down there, and he preached on being filled with the Holy Ghost. Just like I've preached to here tonight, that is a extra work, second work, call it whatever you want to. I don't care. I'm just asking you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. He said the whole time that he was preaching, he said the preacher gave him the stink eye. The stink eye. He said the more he gave him the stink eye, he said the more he wanted to preach it. The next morning he took him to the airport. Before he got out of the car, the preacher told him, he said, before you get out of my car, I want to tell you I don't agree with a thing you preached last night. My dear friend turned to him. He said, before I get out of your car, he said, I want to tell you that I believe it enough for the both of us. I don't care what you believe about it. I believe it enough for the both of us. I love what the old songwriter said. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. My stubborn will subdue. Teach me in ways of living flame what Christ would have me do. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take now my heart. Cleanse every part. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me till I am all your own. until my will is lost in yours to live for you alone. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take now my heart, cleanse every part. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Years ago, somebody asked old B.R. Lakin, he's an old man, they asked him what he thought was the greatest need at the Baptist church today. He didn't think about it. He didn't hesitate. Immediately, these words come out of his mouth. He said, without exception, the greatest need at the Baptist church is for a people that desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I believe it is still true tonight. Would you stand tonight? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Jordan, Julie going to come around tonight and sing something for us. I don't know what you need tonight. I don't even know what God said to you. It may be that the Holy Ghost has never taken up residence in your heart in salvation. He's never even taken first control. He's never even taken first controls of stepping inside of you. If Christ was to come tonight, hails you home. Maybe you want to get in this altar tonight and beg God to save you by His mercy and grace. Maybe you're here tonight. Love to see the Holy Ghost get on your grandchildren and your children. He'll start with you. Maybe you need the bottom end kicked out. Maybe you need to, some of you young people here tonight, some of you older young people tonight, you need to lose the rudder, the control center of your life, and let Him control it. Might be good tonight for you just getting this altar and hand Him the rudder. Say, Lord, I'm not a directing this ship no more. I can't do it. While they sing tonight, the altar's open. God's speaking to you. You do whatever He tells you to do. Preacher, it's yours. Preacher here tonight, never been filled with the Holy Ghost, I would not step behind that pulpit again. If you're a singer here tonight, never been filled with the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't sing another song. If I was a Sunday school teacher and I'd never been filled with the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't teach no more. If I was a deacon and had never been filled with the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't deacon anymore, because everything you do is the letter of the law. It'll kill everything it touches. But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it'll be the letter of the Spirit. It'll bring life everywhere it touches. You got a desire for it tonight? They're singing another verse. Altar's still open. Ask Him.
More about Jesus. Let me learn more of His holy will, discern. things of Christ to me.